This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. For those of you who would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on my website. You can also download it to your computer and you can pass it on to others. I have a weekly meditation on my website that you can read, and you can also get on the subscription list for that if you'll give me your email address. And I'll make sure that you get it sent to you on Mondays, which is usually when I send it out. Now, again, if you want to contact me then, either through regular mail or through the website, or if you want any of the information that's on my website, I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Today we want to look at Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 1. And before we do that, we might again remind you that last time we were dealing with the Jewish people who had foolishly rejected the Lord, and the Lord had stood over Jerusalem and had said to them, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent to you, how often would I have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And it's a foolish person who will not accept the Lord as the Son of God, but more importantly, accept the Lord as the sacrifice for their sins. It's a foolish person who rejects him, and yet when people end up missing out on the blessing of heaven and the blessing of the eternal life that God has provided for them, when they miss out on it, they're going to have to look back at their own lives and realize that in rebellion, they would not. Because I believe that people who really seek the Lord find him. And I believe that people who want to know the truth have it sent to them. And so don't be foolish like the Jews who are suffering to this day because they took their Lord outside the city gates of Jerusalem and nailed him to an old rugged cross. Sometimes we sing the words of that hymn, was it for me alone, the Savior left his glorious throne? The dazzling splendors of the sky, was it for me he came to die? The chorus says, it was for me. Yes, all for me, O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing, he died for me, my Lord the King. For those of us who by faith receive him, we're saved, and those who rebelliously reject him are lost, and there are consequences associated with what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the reason I'm saying that at the beginning of this particular section is because as I read down through Luke 14, much of what I'm going to read has to do with principles for Christian living. But the principles for Christian living do not make us Christians if we live up to them. There are many unsaved people who have never trusted in the Lord who act like Christians. But acting like a Christian does not make us a Christian. But if we are a Christian, we should act like a Christian. And there we got a problem there as well, because many people claim to be Christians, but they reject many of the principles that God has laid out in the Bible for Christians. And it's hard for us to understand how a person who has come to an understanding of their own sin and has turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and has trusted him could honestly then question what the Lord wants in their lives. I believe the Lord saves us not only for heaven, but he saves us to use us. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, after he saw the Lord high and lifted up with his train filling the temple, and he found out that he was under the condemnation of sin, he says, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When he got to that point, the Lord took a coal from off the altar and touched his lips and cleansed him. And after he was cleansed from that defilement of sin, he says to the Lord, here am I, send me. Now, did his saying, here am I, send me, was that what made him a worshiper of God? No, he was a worshiper of God, and he showed it by saying, here am I, send me. So remember, living like a Christian does not a Christian make. But if you are a Christian, it seems like your life would reflect that, and there would be a desire in your heart not to live under religious rules that we're going to see the Pharisees lived under, but to live in a devotional way to the Savior who died for you, and to please a Heavenly Father that has come to receive you into His family. Now, as we look at Luke chapter 14, then, we read from verse 1, "Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. But they kept silent. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, Which of you, having a donkey or an ass or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. Now it was true that under the Sabbath they were not to do any what is called servile work, that is, things where they were that they could do on the day before, they should do on the day before, and they weren't supposed to do a work that caused labor or what was considered service on the Sabbath day. Now, it's interesting that this Pharisee was apparently violating the Sabbath himself. At least it would seem to me that he would be violating the Sabbath, because he had provided hospitality not only for the Lord, but for a man who had dropsy, and for lawyers that were there and Pharisees that were there, and they were all watching to see what the Lord would do. In other words, it was a setup, wasn't it? Designed to see if the Lord could be criticized for violating the Sabbath. Then if he could be criticized for violating the Sabbath, he could be dismissed when it came to whether or not he was really the Son of God and their Messiah. And their minds were made up. They didn't want to be confused with the facts. They were here to criticize him, in their minds, they were here to undercut his authority. But the Lord never violated the Sabbath. The Lord never violated the Sabbath as he had laid it out. He was without sin. But these people had a lot of rules and regulations that they thought were associated with the Sabbath that the Lord never intended them to observe. So the Pharisees were more concerned with the rules and with their traditions than they were with this man who had this problem, this dropsy, whatever that was. They were not concerned about him. They were concerned with their rules and whether they were going to maintain their prestige and their authority, or whether people were going to follow the Lord instead of them. And it really boiled down to a matter of competition. Who was the chiefest, the Lord or was it them? And so the Lord looks at them, and even though in my mind they're hypocritical in criticizing him, because it looks to me like they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing on the Sabbath, yet the Lord goes ahead and heals this man and tells them that doing good is something that you should be able to do on the Sabbath. And even they would worry about a donkey or an ox that had fallen into a pit. They would release that donkey or that ox on the Sabbath day. You can't choose when these accidents happen, but when an accident happens, you're going to try to help people. In our day, if somebody has a car accident, a fire, we're going to go to them and help them if that happens on the Sabbath day. If we're a Jew, the Christian tries to show that they maintain a day of rest on the Lord's day. It's not the Sabbath, but they maintain a day of rest on the Lord's day. At least some of us do. And yet on the Lord's day, we would feel perfectly compelled to go and help somebody who was in need on that day. And so, obviously, the Sabbath is designed for man, the Lord says, and not man for the Sabbath. And so man doesn't tell the Lord how to be worshipped. The Lord tells us how to worship. And here is a situation where the Pharisees, again, were more concerned with religious rules than they were concerned about the man who was being helped and with the Lord who was helping them. And so it's quite obvious that honor is an issue here. So when we come down to verse 7, he told a parable to those who were invited. when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And here again, we can see that it's man's desire to have others give him honor. And many people demand that honor. We see people who deserve honor, and we would never know that they deserve honor. They might be very wealthy people, but they might company with the poor, and they might be very humble in the way they live, and they don't demand that honor. The Lord says that if we're going to be those that the Lord can use, we're going to be a servant. We're going to come as a servant. We're going to serve. We're not going to come to rule. And that's exactly what the Lord did. He was the servant of Jehovah, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And he took the low place and died for our sins, and God is going to exalt him and give him that high place. But there are people who use religion to demand respect. And we got to remember that when we preach, when we serve, we are giving respect to the Lord. We're not demanding it for ourselves. And it's the person who humbles himself that will be exalted. Can you imagine going in and thinking that you're going to be the guest of honor, and all of a sudden being set aside and having somebody else become the guest of honor, and you have to publicly be embarrassed to take the lower place? Well, when we work for the Lord, we just take the low place. And if God wants to honor us, we let him do that, but we don't demand that honor. Even when we come to know the Lord, we have to take the sinner's place in order to receive the Savior of sinners who loved us and gave himself for us. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon all that has been of thyself. We just trust that thou wilt remember those who are listening as we give thee thanks for thy Son in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.